There we go. Thank.
Yes.
Right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for even that wee taste of sunshine coming in through the door and the windows. And I pray you, Lord, this morning that you would just put your good hand upon us and watch over each one of us. Father, that you would help us this morning, especially as we're looking at the whole of 2021, and we know it's just that's in our minds and that things don't just change because the calendar changes, Lord. But I pray you please, Father, for your good hand upon all the right thinking and clear thinking souls in the world this day, that they would seriously consider their eternities, Lord. And those that people that don't have their heads screwed on properly, Lord, would you please reason with and convict each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, for all the churches that are meeting today, that are meeting right now, or that have plans to meet, Father, that you would prepare and inspire, and that you would soften the hearts of all those that are attending, that you would make each one of us, Lord, open to your reasoning, Lord, to your chastening, to your comforting, to your strengthening. Lord, we just thank you for watching over us, and I pray especially for Brother Stan and Sister Karen and the Stuarts and their wives and families up in Bangor. Lord, and I pray for Brother Bissett and his wife and his family and church family up there in Temple Patrick. For Lord, thinking on Johnny Campbell, I thank Lord for all those men in the island that are standing up to preach and to be counted. Lord, for inspiration and protection for our country. Lord, for the whole world right now, that you would put your hand and that it would weigh heavily upon those, Lord, that are, Father, just not being good leaders. I pray you, Lord, please, for each one of them, for the saving of their souls, for the influence of those that walk in the corridors of power. Lord, we leave all of these things at your feet and we pray for a slightly better tomorrow. We know, Lord, that things are going to get worse and worse, but Lord, we know that things can get brighter and brighter when we adopt a closer walk with you. Thank you for each head that's bowed here, Lord. I pray you for a blessing upon the houses that are represented. We remember too, that, Lord, those that aren't here, Pat and Steve and Esther, and we think on Leonard, Lord, and Lord, we miss those that have been and gone home. Father, we just leave all these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will and be one of our number now. And we ask it, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's take our little black books and turn to hymn number 2 in the little black books this morning. Hymn number 2. We know this one. This is the blessed old book. So we'll remain seated as we sing. Amen.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and have not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where stand, sin kept me from it, that keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great. quoted with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Don't go too far away from your little black book. We're going to give hymn number 28 a shot in the book now, if you'd like to take a turn there. It's called Calvary Covers It All. Now, we've had a little bit of discussion about this, and I'm almost certain that we have sung it in church, but a lot of people aren't. And then we came to the conclusion that I might have actually been listening to it a lot on CDs and cars, and possibly with my wife playing it on radio and one thing or another, but I want to give it a shot. Hymn number 28, Calvary Covers It All.
Came to my heart. I love
Now, normally we would set up a hymn to be playing so that we're greeted with music on the way back after switching the heat on and whatnot, but there you go. We'll only sing four of them this morning. Amen. Norman, if you're fit, would you like to come up and bring us the Bible reading, brother, please?
This morning's reading is Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and thou shalt be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. The bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and behold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open now my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to officially welcome you all again to Bethel Baptist Church. It's good to see you here this morning. I just want to remind you too to take a little white prayer list with you. It's not in a hope and a prayer of snow. I think we had red and green the previous two for Christmassy colours. We are not hoping for snow in Whitesheet. We've got the ice. We don't want the snow. But I would ask that you would please remember to call out the names of your brothers and sisters in Christ as often as you can, and take the time even to talk to each other and find out those things that need praying about in their lives, lost loved ones and one thing and another. There are many, many prayer requests. We're not going to go through them all, but it seems like we haven't really taken time the past 2 weeks with Christmas celebrations and one thing and another. In fact, I don't know about you, but it still feels a bit Christmassy or sort of holiday to me. I know the lockdowns and curfews and one thing and another have probably contributed to that slightly off or different feeling, but we would all appreciate your prayers. I think I even had a holiday. You're going to have to forgive me for this, for a day or so over Christmas, and then I woke up one night and thought, hold on a second, I never prayed for anybody this past day and a half. And this was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I remembered the words of Samuel when he said, God forbid that I should sin and cease to pray for you. So just be much in prayer for each other. We were just having a discussion out in the hall there. There's a lot going on in the world. And I know a lot of people are looking to various leaders for salvation. And I don't mean that in spiritual salvation, but to make things go well. There may be various times of respite in the world where things do go better, but the Bible tells us that things are not going to get better in general, and that the only person we should really be keeping our eyes upon is Jesus Christ. That does not mean that we don't pray for our leaders. We are commanded to, and especially pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That is so important, because I don't know about you, but I would certainly like more than my wife to be praying for me, and I appreciate all the prayers that people offer up for me. I know some of them are probably offered up with grinding teeth and rolling eyes, but I appreciate them all. Are there any other? Yes, Ling.
I pray for Joanne. They are leaving on Tuesday.
Are they? Goodness. That hardly seemed like any time at all, but that's 2 months, isn't it?
No.
6 weeks?
Three and a half.
3.5 weeks? I was going to say weeks. That just seems like no time at all, but that's my my sense of time has gone to the wall this past year. Goodness. Amen. And we will get that's traveling mercies for Joanne and her dad and her wee baby son. My goodness, time just absolutely flies. Aye, indeed. Please pray for Joanne. Some of you may not remember Joanne, but she's turned up. I think whenever she was here before she was married, she would be here for Christmas and one thing and another. So, amen. Amen. Are there any other prayer requests that we need to be making a note of?
Mary's in hospital.
Is she? With COVID related?
Lung infection.
Right. All right. Please pray for Mary. I think they had that going round the house for a while, didn't they? So please do pray for Mary. That's Esther's daughter. That's Stan and Karen's sister / sister-in-law and Christy's auntie. So please do pray for her and the whole house at this time. Unfortunately, it's fresh enough in my mind to know that when one person in the house is sick, it does affect the whole house. So please do pray for their 5 kids. Isn't it 5? It is, isn't it? And themselves. Goodness, there you go. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on or praying about? Don't forget, sorry?
Private prayer request.
Sure, make sure of that. Anybody else got any private prayer requests just while we're at it? At the risk of being a bit of a dampener on things, we're going to lose Taylor, I think, on, is it Tuesday or Wednesday morning? Oh, Thursday? Do we get this? Will you be away on Wednesday? You'll be here on Wednesday. So we will get to see you on Wednesday. Oh, grand job.
But,
well, just forget I even said anything and we'll say it on Wednesday. But we've enjoyed having her with us, and we look forward to seeing her again soon, very soon, and then maybe a little bit later than that at another time. Please do pray for Christy and Taylor as they do touristy things and holiday things over the next few days. I can't think of anything else right now. Half my brain's still in holiday mode, so if there's anything else you want prayed about, yes, Mrs. Bradford. Yeah, church is back to its normal time. What would I do without my secretary? I would probably be here in a t-shirt or a shirt with a tea stain on it, and the tie would have threads coming out of it. But so we missed everybody on Wednesday night, but the services were posted. I think we posted them, didn't we? So I'm sure you all thronged to your Facebook profiles to listen to that. I think it was, and we had the website down for a while because seemingly my credit card had expired, at least the one that was paying for it. So we thought the whole world's coming to an end, the website's down, but that's back up again. MasterCard's covering it instead of Visa now. So, amen. I think that's about that. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll sing another song and then we'll continue. Amen. Well, would you like to lead us, please, if you would?
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord, and thank you on behalf of the church, about your church, Lord, and the sun through the day, Lord. Lord, thank you for it also, Lord. Thank you for giving us safety and travelling to church as well, Lord. And for every good thing you've given to us, especially Lord Jesus Christ, down the cross for us, things, Lord. Yes. So for the churches and the missionaries throughout the land, throughout the world, Lord, pray for them to keep more. Pray for the missionaries we support, Lord, pray for the police and the National Open Doors, Christian Institute, Kids for Schools, Christian Institute, Lord, living behind bars, Lord, and also all the ones, Lord, we do not know. Bless them and keep them, give them the Spirit, Lord, and also give Spirit to Mark as he comes to preach this morning, Lord. Bless them and keep Lord, as each and every head is covered, each and every household is represented today. Pray for those who can bring it, both on the family, save them, Lord, and pray for them and keep them, Lord. Bring them to your house next point of time and save their souls, Lord. Pray for Esther, Lord. Provide for her and help her in her skin condition and her conditions, Lord. Help her and ease her pain, Lord, and help her and pray for her and bless her also, Lord. Pray for also Stephen Pat, Lord. Help him and provide for him as well, Lord. And help see for his leg, Lord, and his diabetes, and Lord. Pat and Esther with their diabetes as well, Lord. Pray for Leonard also, Lord. Pray for Mr. Armstrong, bless him and keep him. Keep him as apple of my eye, Lord. And pray for him and bless him and keep him. And Mr. Upton also, Lord. Bless this day, Lord. Provide for us, keep us, Lord. Lord, pray for that mark in the service, Lord. Give us the Spirit, Lord. And teach us and exhort us, Lord. For thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Right, I think we still have a song to sing in the black books, if you would like to take a turn there. This one is, if I can just find it. Nope, we did 28. Number 18. I haven't sung this one for a while. Hymn number 18, if you're able, let's stand as we sing Where the Soul Never Dies.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul my life will end in deathless sleep, where the soul never dies, and everlasting joys I'll reap, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. You put your hymn books away for a bit. And take your Bibles out, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 6 with me. Luke chapter 6. I'd like to take a little bit of time this morning and speak on the subject of listen up. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse number 37, and reading through until the end of the chapter. It's only about just about a dozen verses. Baker's dozen, I think. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse number 37. Glad to be here, I'm glad to be saved, and I'm glad to be on my way to heaven. I'm glad that no matter, should I even wake up in the middle of the night with my heart pounding and my brain racing because some monster has been chasing me from all of the stupid things I used to watch and on TV in the middle of the night. It seems so real that once I open my eyes that God is there to catch me and to hold me and to calm me. And I'm glad that this isn't it. I'm glad that there is a heaven and that there is an eternal life. Amen. Amen. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. Listen up is the title for our message this morning. Verse number 47 is our text, and we're going to have a brief look at a few of those verses as we go, but that's going to be us. Let's bow our heads and pray again. Brother Christy, would you pray for us, please, if you would.
Thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us, Lord. We're thankful for salvation, Lord, and thankful as well that we have the liberty still in this land to come into your house, Lord, without persecution, Lord, or arrest. Lord, would you guide the preacher this hour? I pray, Lord, that you would even speak to his mind and in his heart right now, Lord, and what you'd have him say, Lord. Give grace, Lord, give wisdom, power, Lord, boldness and strength. We just ask and pray, Lord, that fires his heart be stirred up this morning, Lord, and you'd expound to us, Lord, the gold nuggets in your word here this morning. Open our ears and our minds, Lord. Help us give discernment amongst your congregation, Lord, not only in this church, but throughout every church to meet together this morning. Lord, save us sinners, Lord. Be with those, Lord, that can't be in your house this morning. Protect them from the winds of the devil, too. Remember those that are sick and downcast, Lord. We pray a touch for them. Lord, those that are mourning the loss of, Lord, someone who has passed on, pray for comfort for them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I am sure that these verses are very familiar to everybody. We're not here to break new ground. I once heard a preacher say that if it's new, it's not true. We're going to think specifically on the last few verses. Our text, most importantly, but the Lord. I don't know if you have a red letter Bible. That means that all of those things that we just read were spoken by Jesus Christ. He actually said all of those things in the flesh to other people, four of which at least remembered enough of them to write them down, and they all agree. Never has there been a time in the 55 years that I've been kicking about, I am sure in the few years more than that, and a few other people in the congregation, one other person in the congregation has been kicking about, I'm not pointing any elbows at Norman, that things have been as, in quotes, interesting, that there have been so many voices crying and shouting out for our attention. Now, unfortunately, most of them are anything but dependable, and especially in just in the very last few, well, the last year nearly, some of the instructions that we have been receiving and even the laws of the land can very nearly change from one news broadcast to another. And it constantly reminds me of the words of the Lord to his disciples whenever he told them that many wise men and prophets have desired to see the things that you see. And I know that we have spoken many times about circumstances like this, about times like this, but always they were happening in another country. They always happened in poor countries. They always happened in countries under the iron fist of a tyrant or something like that. But now, all of these things are happening in our own countries. I think we received a bit of a rude awakening before Stormont could be reinstituted whenever we had homosexual marriage and abortion forced upon us. Not voted in, it was just instituted. Again, the hand of a tyrant. There is, even amongst the most conservative of conservatives, there is a tendency to change. Maybe as age lends a little bit of wisdom and a few grey hairs, sometimes people mellow out, sometimes people become more strict. But if there's one thing that's constant, if you'll forgive the expression, it's change. Change just keeps happening and people don't like it. People don't handle it well. I remember many, many years ago, about 20 years ago, maybe no more than that, about 25, nearly 30 years ago, when I was charged with changing some of the systems in Desmond's. And people started to get really annoyed. They get quite upset. The fact that their work was going to change, that they used to be able to just sit down and their hands would move automatically across the keyboard, hitting the enter key and yes and no, and they would be where they needed to be. People were starting to get annoyed simply because we don't like change. We like new phones, we like new gadgets, and we like new shoes and clothes and things like that, but we really don't like change. And it's not a biological thing, it's a spiritual thing. And the Lord knows this, and this is why he provided for us his Son, Jesus Christ, and of course the word that he said he would preserve. And I love the verses in Hebrews 13 where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know some people say, but God's word did change. Back in the Old Testament, he used to command his people to go out and kill people by the thousand. And in one respect, yes, because Jesus said to Peter, to the village, and I think it was in Samaria, that they refused to have him in. Peter said, "Lord, should we call an airstrike down on them?" And he said, "Look, that's not the sort of people you are." And Peter was probably thinking, "But hold on a second, God. You instructed your people to kill many, many thousands of people. Like Jericho got killed except for everybody that was in Rahab, the harlot's house. I think the people in Ai, whenever they moved into the promised land, they were wiped out to a man. And many other battles, goodness, even the Lord sent as either the angel of the Lord, which could be Jesus Christ, or maybe one of his archangels came down and killed 180,000 men of war in one night. Goodness! But I do believe whenever you look at not just this life but eternity, that there are some souls that are so deeply entrenched in their sin and in their paganism that they will never come to Jesus Christ. And God knows which ones those are, Rahab the harlot being a prime example. And of course the open invitation throughout the Bible for any soul to come and be one of God's people. Some of the things that I hope that's a clear enough explanation, and that's how I look at these things in the Bible. There are some people that only the Lord knows who will and who won't accept him, and those that reject Jesus may and continue to reject Jesus through the whole of their lives. There's really, what's the point? There is literally no point. God even says so. Anyway, as we look at these few things here, I started, whenever I do my notes, I don't know if you can see it from here, but I embolden the interesting ones. And then if there's two interesting points together, I will underline the next one. And then I'll embolden the next one. But I think every single verse that we looked at here this morning has interesting points or godly wisdom. In fact, some just common sense. Some of it is straightforward, and even to the world, some of the words of Jesus Christ make perfect sense. And I know one that gets quoted at us a lot, "You shouldn't judge." Have you ever heard that? People say, "Oh, you shouldn't judge," whenever you tell them that, look, you're a sinner and you need to be saved. "Oh, you shouldn't judge. You shouldn't say that I'm a sinner." But we're all sinners. The only difference is that some sinners are going to heaven and many sinners are not going to heaven. But you shouldn't judge. Friends, when you pick up your phone, you have a little machine that is making millions of decisions every second just so that you can play Tetris. It's not Tetris anymore. What is it? Candy Crush or something like that on your phone. When you go to make a cup of tea, I have more decisions than most people whenever I make a cup of tea, because my tastes run from black tea to milk in my tea to milk and tea, milk and sugar in my tea. And some days I like it hotter than others. Like, we have to make so many judgments whenever we come to the edge of the pavement. Should we run out into four lanes of fast moving traffic? Or should we just watch and see what the other... I am going to make a decision. I am going to judge if I can make it before that car or if that car will make it past me. This is not talking about making judgments. People even say, people in HR, people in management will tell you that in a few minutes you can pretty much tell by talking to someone what sort of person they are, and that even is one of the things that the Lord is speaking about. We do judge. It's not for us to decide who goes to heaven or hell. And it's not for us to say in our hearts that you will never ever change. We're only charged with preaching the gospel. But we are to judge when it comes to, do we want this, do we want a drug user to be our bosom buddy? Do we want to hang around with harlots and whoremongers? Do we want to make these the people that we call our peers and we listen to? Of course we don't. But we do want them to be saved. And we do want them to go to heaven, so we are called to judge. Does that person need to hear the gospel? Or does that person need fellowship in the gospel? We are to make decisions, but only God decides at the end of all. Only he knows who has chosen him and who has not. I'm sorry if I'm going on a little bit, but there's a lot of good things that Jesus said, even in these few verses. Now, it talks about the blind leading the blind. Have you ever heard of that? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. It goes hand in hand with the disciple not being above the master. The master doesn't listen to the disciple. The disciple listens to the master, because the master has his finger on the pulse. He has his head screwed on and he knows which way he's going. So it's up to those that are still learning to listen to the master. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because I still have a lot to learn. An awful lot to learn. So we are supposed to take our advice from those that know better. And you know what? Even looking around us today, I'm not saying about the DUP being better than Sinn Féin or SDLP or the Democrat movement in America being better than the GOP, the Republican movement in America, or communism versus socialism versus capitalism being better. Do you know what? All of those things have some admirable, one or two admirable qualities. But whenever you separate them out from other things, they don't stand very well on themselves. I'm talking about listening to what God says. Because God, I know I've mentioned this before, but just for the sake of repetition, God is the ultimate communist. Everybody is the same to God. We're all sinners and all treated as such. We are all have a hand outstretched to us, and we all have a Saviour who died on the cross for us. But it is entirely up to us what we make of it. So technically God is the consummate capitalist as well. We can get out of Christianity as much as we want to put into it. We can get salvation out of it. We can have, when I say a successful Christian life, a fruitful Christian life out of it, depending upon whether we want to be familiar with the Word of God, whether we want to be familiar with our Father, God the Father, whether we want to make use of the Holy Spirit that resides within us and call upon Him frequently and obey Him. We can go as far as we want. And God is the ultimate socialist as well. He will take care of us, of every single one of us that turns up. But all of those, they can't be separated out. You can't say that one is all that there is. They're all part of Christianity. I don't know how we got on to that, but let's have a look more about what the Word of God is that we're looking at here. We already, and I love that, whenever I read this one about, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but you can't see the beam that's in your own eye? And I always remember one of the children's lessons. It was called Nanomotes and Laser Beams. And it was about this. It was the kids' club was set in the future, when even people still needed the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. But they had these tiny little machines, nanites and things. They talk about this nanotechnology. And one of the kids got the them blown into his eyes and couldn't see, because you don't see whenever you have dust blown in your eyes. And one of his friends was coming over to help him when he tripped and fell, and a laser beam just came right down and trapped him in. And he says, "I know what you need. You need to get those nanomotes out of your eyes." And of course the story was, whenever you get the laser beam out of your own way, you will be able to help the person get the nanomotes out of their eyes. We have a lot of things in our lives, and sometimes it's a true thing. Sometimes we can see what's going on in people's lives, but simply because we have a different perspective. But before you start offering advice on how people should live your lives, the Lord said, make sure you've got yourself sorted out. Or if you want, you can't really help someone to safety that's drowning in the water when you're actually in the water yourself. You really need to be on solid ground. Whether that's your strength and your wherewithal with your swimming, or whether that is quite literally a rock in the water or on the bank that you can pull someone to safety, the Lord said, make sure you're okay before you start helping other people. We already mentioned about the way people are, and Jesus said, and this is common sense, the things that people do are the things that people think. There's an old saying, you are what you eat. If you eat McDonald's all day, you're not going to be very well after maybe a few weeks or months, because you'll be overloaded with salt and whatever else goes in to keep a McDonald's burger good for years in a sealed container, and the bread as well. But some people like them, and that's okay. But if you eat junk all the time, your body eventually is going to wave a wee white flag of "I surrender." Your pancreas or something will have packed up, or your kidneys will have packed up with all the coke. Your teeth will have disappeared, and your stomach will be ate out of you, and it's not good for you. And it goes exactly the same for what the way you behave. If you are always obstreperous and violent, if you always want to go down to the drink because the pub because the company's better down there, there's obviously something not right as far as God's concerned going on in your head, because as the Lord said to Peter, that's not the sort of people you should be. These things are common sense. Look at someone, observe them, and you will know what sort of person they are eventually. Everybody always lets the real person out. But there is one or two there that are not common sense. There's one or two there that people will just be throwing their hands up in the air and saying, I don't follow that at all. What about give and it shall be given unto you? Shaken, pressed down and overflowing, for good measure shall men give into your bosoms. How are you supposed to get rich and succeed if you keep giving stuff away? People might think they're generous, but if everybody's a selfish, good for nothing, my four and no more soul in this world, all they're going to do is take. And the only reason that you can give, Christian, is because God has filled you up. He has given you something that makes other things not as important as just obeying him. And you just can't do that if you're not a Christian. There are some of the instructions that God gives us that you just can't do unless you're saved. I know a lot of people say, oh, I give. Mother Teresa, that wee old woman was in her, 80s was she when she died in India? Oh, and Mother Teresa was a saint, and Mother Teresa went to heaven. But you know what, friends? I don't think she did. If she never repented of her sins, she never went to heaven, no matter how much she gave. Does it not say in 1 Corinthians 13, should you even give your body to be burned and have not the love of Christ in your heart, charity? It's not going to do you any good. Not one little bit. Should you give everything away and not of Christ, it'll not do you one bit of good. I know I'm paraphrasing there, but that's the teaching in the first three verses. Some of the things require you to be saved. Some of these things require you to be on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. Now, I'm going to just at the risk of labouring a point, and I know it hasn't been, it's only been a few months since we actually spoke on this, and it happens as I cycle around through the gospel, sometimes it really sticks with me. Maybe it's me that needs it more than everybody else in the church. I want to think about the things that Jesus says. We haven't by any stretch of the imagination mentioned them all. But the Lord said, and this is our text, excuse me, verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them," and that's the important thing, "I will show you to whom he is like." And he goes on to describe a man that listens and the house, but for the Christian, trusting in Christ as your Saviour is the foundation in your life. Again, in Corinthians, I think is it 1 Corinthians 10 or 1 Corinthians 3 where it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." There's one other piece of building materials that a lot of Christians forget in this life, and that is a cornerstone. The cornerstone used to be another substantially sized rock cut so that the walls could be built off of the cornerstone. And the Lord said that that was the rock of offense which many people, including today, many Christians, don't like. They stumble at, they choke at, and they leave out, which is why so many Christians, saved souls today, their lives are not going the way God would have it, why they have so much difficulty. It's great to be saved, it certainly is, but there is more to this life than just being saved and attending church. It's great to be in church. I'm glad the doors are open. The preaching might not be the most eloquent. It depends on what my sleep was like the night before. Depends on the subject matter. Sometimes it even depends on whether I'm preaching about money or people. I have had a little bit of a raw nerve with somebody's particularly bad habit that, by the way, I don't know about, but the Lord certainly does. It's easy to be a Christian sitting in church with your nice clothes on, your shine shoes, and everybody carrying a Bible. It's easy. There's nobody here who's going to tempt you off drinking or to hang around in a darkened street corner waiting for some unwary soul coming home from a pub full and easy meat and give them a good hiding and don't even worry about taking the money. It's easy to be a Christian in church. But whenever we go home and close the door and take our Sunday clothes off, what sort of person are we really? Do we go from organizing, getting up and polishing her shoes and pressing her shirts and dry cleaning her suits to planning our next party, our next bout of drinking, or the next stranger's bed that we're going to hop into, the things we're going to steal, or the lies we're going to tell? And we never give God a thought until the next Sunday. I can guarantee you that most of the churches in this world are just like, I used to be like that, sitting in church. Sitting in church, I would be a piece of paper. The preacher probably thought, oh, that guy's taking notes on what I was saying. Oh, he's still taking notes. And every time the minister would look up, I would be writing notes down. But really what I was doing was writing down the army that I was going to fight with on the Sunday afternoon. The War Games army, and I was doing out all the points. It happens. Even in church, sometimes we don't give God a thought. In fact, do you know what? In many cases, and again, I'm not speaking about anybody in particular in the church. I'm not picking on anybody today. I'm talking about, and when I mean the church and churches, I mean all of the churches in the world. The Lord talks about a member of the church, their lives being like a house, a strong foundation. A deep foundation, a steady foundation. That's Jesus Christ. It just can't be shook, can't be broken, can't be washed away. Nothing can get rid of that foundation. But if it was today, there would be a foundation in the Christian's life, but the house would be held up by a bunch of two-by-fours and a bit of plastic fascia. And the first windy day that came along, most of it would blow off and it would look like a house in the good times, and it would even smell like a house in the good times, and it would keep light rains up, but once the heavy times came, the walls would just be a fascia. It would just be a sheet of plastic keeping most of the weather out. And God doesn't want that for us. He says, listen up. Listen to me. Who was it that said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country? Was that one of the American presidents? Kennedy. Is Kennedy bigger than God? Does the late President Kennedy have a greater claim upon mankind than God has? Of course he doesn't. He was trying to prick people's consciences, to get them to sign up, to get people, even people at home, to do a bit better, to be a patriotic citizen, to help not their country, but I think I've heard many soldiers say, I'm not here to fight for my country. I'm not here to fight for my commander. I'm here to fight for the guy to the left of me and to the right of me, because they are the ones that are depending upon me. And that's really what we need to do. We need to be praying for our neighbours and our friends. These are the ones that we can most ably assist. Yes, we can call out the names of our leaders and people in foreign lands by all means, but these are the people that we can physically help. We need to have that sort of a mind. And when God calls, what do? We don't ask, Lord, what can we do for you? We're sort of saying, well, Lord, what has God done for me? What's the least I can do? It's such a chore to get out to church sometimes. This is the things that goes through people's minds. And I'm not giving off, don't get me wrong, I'm not giving off because there was only Monica and me here on Wednesday. Right? I'm not giving off to anybody. I'm just saying, how big a chore is it for us to get out to church, to haul ourselves off of our couch from the front of the TV with a remote in one hand and a cup of tea in the other and a packet of chocolate biscuits in the other, to go to worship the God that created the universe. The God that gave us life on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And you know, whenever we say for our sins, it makes it sound like a little thing. But it's for all the times you lied. It's for all the times that you blasphemed the name of the Lord. It's for all the times that you have broken any one of his laws. It's for all the times, for all the murders you've committed in your heart. And we have. For all the adulteries we have committed with our bodies or again in our hearts. For the thefts that we have committed via covetousness in our hearts or with our actual hands. For the violence that we have wished upon people and even visited upon people. For the lying and cheating and stealing and these things that seem to have such an easy task of getting into our lives. Jesus gave his life for every single one of them. Because let me tell you, it says in the last chapter of the book, Revelation 22, it says no liars, thieves, murderers or adulterers, no sinners are getting into the kingdom of heaven. None are getting into the New Jerusalem. And without Jesus, friends, that would be you and me. We owe God a whole lot. And to say even that, we owe God a whole lot, six words, doesn't do justice to what we actually owe God. We owe him everything. In the endless ages of eternity, I think maybe we will realize what exactly we do owe God. And the first thing that we'll say is, do you know what? I should have lived my life differently. I should have walked a little bit closer. I should have listened a little bit harder. I should have applied it a little bit more firmly. We we're a bit slack, aren't we, as a creature? I'm not saying it's again anybody here, sure, even David. Do you remember David, King David, the apple of God's eye? I think, was it Will mentioned something about somebody being the apple of God's eye in his prayer? The man that took a lion by the chin and killed it and took a lamb out of its mouth. The man that killed the bear again for another lamb. The child that killed the lion and the bear, and the child that killed a 12 or 13 foot tall man who, and the spear that he carried was like a weaver's beam, like a 4x4. And yet and all, he slacked off. And he caused a great amount of trouble to Israel. We tend to forget too, even as Christians, when we're talking about our lives being built upon the solid rock, that even, well, any activity, anything, if you don't go to God first about it, it's going to taste like ashes in your mouth eventually. It's going to become unsatisfying eventually, because it's just in our nature to cling to those things that make us feel good and that we enjoy. But if we don't put God in there, eventually we won't enjoy them. Eventually, well, this life, this building that we put up will have a few maybe holes in it, a few leaks in the roof if we're not careful. We need to listen to what God says, even when it's not convenient, even when it hurts us or embarrasses us, because it's a great incentive to live your life right and truthfully whenever your conscience won't let you go until you get things sorted out. Our lives are the building. The foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. Or it is the world. And as we said, the world changes. Could you imagine throwing the foundation in it? The world would like a bit of rock here or some sand or mud there. And don't worry about it. We'll put a wee skim across the top and we'll just put the bricks on it and we'll start building. The Word of God says when the flood arose. Doesn't say if the flood arose, because difficult times are going to come. And if you have all of your dreams and your hopes and your futures based upon things in this world, and when they disappear, and they will, what are you going to do? Is everything going to come tumbling down? And I don't mean everything around about us. I mean in our hearts and minds. If we have our faith and our life and our hopes and dreams built upon our skills, our education, our health, let me tell you, those things can disappear in a hurry. Our company. Oh, I am somebody because everybody likes everything I say and therefore validates the fact that I am somebody. When they stop validating you, what happens to you? If you have your life built upon those things, hard times will come, but you won't have anything to cling to that will keep you upright and safe and secure. We need Jesus because, first of all, it's not up to us to hold on to Jesus. He says he will hold on to us. But he's always there, Christian. Saved soul, Jesus always has you in the palm of his hand. And no matter what you do or what the time and chance does to you or even the very devil does to you, nobody can pluck you out of his hand. That's worth remembering. As one wee man said, I might shake on the rock and I might tremble on the rock, but the rock never shakes or trembles under me. I pray you please that you listen to God, because every one of his teachings, every one of his laws that is there for us, the moral laws, the laws that affect our character, not our waistline or our fashion, but I'm actually talking about the laws that affect our hearts and our minds. They're there to build you up. They are there to keep you safe. They are there to make you a good child of the King of Kings. They are there to make you profitable, not maybe financially, but certainly in souls and in good works. And we know, again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that God's going to look at our lives. And he's going to look at them with those eyes that are as a flame of fire, and all the stuff that we didn't do for God will just be gone in a puff of smoke. God wants us. He wants to give us so much stuff, and he wants to help us. But you know, a lot of times we just don't turn up. I have great blessings for you, God says, whenever you listen to and obey my word. But yet we find it so difficult to turn up to church. We find it so difficult to turn up in the throne room of heaven in prayer and worship and praise. Even a Christian will run afoul of the things of this world if they're not listening to what Jesus says. For the soul without a foundation, it's no great task of imagination to see the water. And water is one of those things. It has a fearsome amount of weight, and once it gets going, it has a fearsome amount of momentum too. I think if we put maybe four of those heaters side by side and together, you wouldn't be far off of a metric ton if a similar container was filled with water. And that's only up to your waist. And if that's coming at you in a river, anyone that's done any fishing will know the strength or the power behind a flowing river. A life without a foundation will tumble and fall. Now, I don't know if you've ever spoken to folks about Jesus. It's a great thrill. And even a complete and utter stranger, it's hard to actually speak to people you know about Jesus than it is to speak to people you don't know about Jesus. If everything that you believe in and have faith in won't carry you through a discussion about the state of your soul, hand on heart, there it is there, hand on heart, everything that you believe in and have faith in will almost certainly not carry you to heaven. You know the way souls would say, oh, I believe, but what I believe is private. That's not what Jesus came saying. What I believe is just for me alone. That's not what Jesus came saying. It's not of any private interpretation. The gospel is for all men everywhere. And if your faith does not carry you through the defense of your faith, your knowledge of your faith does not carry you through the defense of your faith, it's not going to carry you. It's not going to uphold you when loss comes. And it will. For by the things that we've spoken about, lives are lost of loved ones. What do you do? What do you think? What do you believe? And whenever your own time comes to step off into eternity, who's waiting for you? Will it be the angels in Luke 16 that came to carry Lazarus to Abraham's bosom? Or will it be like the rich man who was buried and opened up his eyes in hell being in torments? Friends, I'm going to close with in a moment, with what God said. This is what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples of God's opinion of those that listened to him. That sounds very complicated and long-winded. This is what God thinks of people that listen to him and those that don't. Those that don't, he calls a fool. And he says it twice in Psalms and many times through the Word of God. But you have to remember his Father, all right? God the Father, that's God Almighty. First person in the Godhead that sits on the throne in heaven. This is what he had to say about all the things that his son ever spoke about, all the things that Jesus ever preached about, repentance and trusting in him, the assurance of salvation. These are the things that Jesus spoke about. Obeying the scriptures, obedience, revenge even. I know we all like to have a wee bit of revenge from time to time. Sacrifice, in other words, giving of yourself, of your time, of your efforts. Even loss. God's blessings and God's gifts, and there are many. Loving the brethren, being a sign of your salvation. Evangelism, reaching out to the lost. Jesus did mention that. It was one of the last things he said. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Turning up at church. God even has something to say about turning up at church. He says, get there. Reading, studying, memorizing, preaching, teaching, and the application of God's word. Praying and praising, tithing and fellowshipping. Even your very clothing. Jesus had something to say, and the word of God has something to say on it. This is what God said, God the Father. Matthew 17, and it says it in a couple of Gospels. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, this is God about Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's what God Almighty said about his Son. He said, listen, pay attention. Any other way is not pleasing to God and doesn't work well for people in general, but Christians in particular. Now, they say that the most popular and well-patronized movies always have a happy ending. Even in Star Wars, the good guys eventually win. Might be three films down the line. Or Avengers, might be a film or two down the line. But the good guys always win. That's what makes it attractive to us, because deep down, everybody wants to be a winner. We want to win. We want to know that we amounted to something, that our lives were worth something. So listen and do what God says. Again, Romans 8:28, I'm sure if anybody ever asks what my life verse will be, this might be the one. It says, we know. This is the church in Rome, the Christian church in Rome, not the Catholic church in Rome. We know that all things work together for good. In other words, happy end. To them that love God, in other words, those that chose Christ as their Savior, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. In other words, when you listen up. So listen up, folks. Listen up. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. I haven't picked a closing hymn. Does anybody have one that they'd like for us to sing? Anybody at all? Black or blue? 16. 16 in the black book. Which is, he lifted me. Yes, indeed. Right, can't sing that sitting down, so let's stand as we sing, he lifted me.
Sin and shame, through grace he lived there.
Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Pray you have a good Sunday afternoon. Doors will be open again. Remember, 7 p.m., not 6 p.m. tonight. And amen. Let's close with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this time in your presence and around your word, for the freedom to be able to lift up our praises. Lord, for an open door to bring before you all our prayers and supplications and thanksgivings. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. And just, Lord, be our ever, ever present friend, comforter, advisor, and even straightener, Lord. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this for our private prayer requests and petitions for lost loved ones and friends. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed.